from days of long ago. From uncharted regions of the universe comes a legend.
Became the mighty Battle Cat, and I became He-Man, the most powerful man in the universe.
Nowhere to run, nowhere to hide, panties spreading far and wide. Who can turn the tide?
G.I. Joe,
G.I. Joe,
fighting for freedom wherever there's trouble over land.
Welcome to Star Joe's Podcast, episode 277, Previews in a Half Shell. I'm your host, Ryan, and welcome back, everyone. Yes, hopefully this is coming out relatively soon to the last episode. Like I mentioned, you guys, I am planning on trying to get episodes out a little bit more regularly, even if it's just me. I do already have plans, as I think I mentioned last episode, to record with John and Eric and stuff, and then I'll have some of our regular people on as well, like Anthony and whatnot out there. So, but a couple things. One is you'll notice my tone is a little bit louder right now, and that's because it's the middle of the day. My wife went to go visit her dad. I just got done doing an interview for my Kickstarter, so I'm a little bit jazzed, a little bit energetic. While she's away, I figure, well, I'll just use this time to start recording an episode. I probably won't get it all done right now, and I'll probably record the rest of it a little bit later. But yeah, just thought I would get things started now, and then we can always circle back later, and I'll probably be quieter because it'll be nighttime then. But also wanted to remind everyone that the Kickstarter for Stealth Hammer is now live. Appreciate any support that you can do. If you've backed it before, thank you. I hope you'll back the next issue now. If you've never backed it before, there are rewards out there that will bring you up to speed. It can be, we have like a digital starter pack that gets you all three issues for like just $15. There's also a physical starter pack that gets you all three main cover issues for $20 plus shipping. So very affordable. You also get the digital copies of the comic as well. We have some amazing rewards, such as original artwork, which is never occurred before with Stealth Hammer, because Joel typically works in digital format, but for this issue, since it's a flashback story, he decided to go old school, and he is hand-drawing almost all the pages. So there will be some original artwork available. You'll see that tier. We're also doing a limited print that will, there will only be 50 of them. They will be numbered and signed by myself and Joel. This is like an epic battle scene. It's going to be 11 by 17. It's going to be fully colored. You can see the black and white pencil work on the Kickstarter right now. He threw in a ton of characters. I told him like all the different characters that I thought could be in this thing. I pictured it being like the end of Rocky III, where you have Apollo Creed and Rocky just about to, they're doing their little sparring fight at the end of Rocky III, and there's the freeze frame scene where they go to throw a punch at each other, and the scene just pauses and changes to a painting. That was kind of the inspiration for this. I told him I want good guys versus bad guys and just one big epic battle, but they're like just about to start that battle. So like the battle is just beginning. So it's insane what he did. Can't wait to see it fully colored, but there will be just 50 of them, and they'll never be available after those 50. We have variant cover artists of Chris Uminga, who has done amazing stuff with DC. He's had statues done of his artwork for DC. He's also done stuff for Disney. So his cover they did for us is just so much fun and just so fitting for the story that we're telling. But yeah, check it out. Go to Kickstarter.com and look up Stealth Hammer. I hope you'll support it. I hope you'll back it. We have a much lower goal this time than we have had in the past, and that's because I've put a lot more of my own money. I've sold a lot of my own personal collections of comics and collectibles and stuff like that to help fund this issue because I just want to get the story out there. I want people to enjoy it. So, again, if you haven't backed it yet and you have the means to do so, greatly appreciate you supporting it. If you don't have the means to do so, I totally understand, but please share it with people that would be interested. It is all ages, so it's appropriate for anybody of any age to read it and enjoy it. So, with that being said, I am doing a previews episode. It is a regular numbered episode. I know in the past I mentioned that I would do probably some previews episodes, but they'll be 0.5s as to not take away from the total numbers. I was just realizing, like, if I do that, I'm just never going to get up to 300, which is probably okay with you guys, but I do eventually want to get up to 300 and have some nice closure for everybody when it comes to that. I'm not going to do previews every single month, so don't worry. It's not like I'm going to cheat you guys out of like regular episodes or anything like that, but it's been a while since I've done a previews episode. This does give me a chance to talk about a whole bunch of comics, not just Star Joe's related ones, but all different types of comics that are out there, things that I'm reading, things that I'm interested in. And like I said, I'm not going to do this every month, but every once in a while, maybe every few months, I will do a previews episode as one of our regular episodes just to talk about comics. And you guys can kind of hear what's going on out there if you're not already reading some of the things that are out there. So right now there is 4 catalogs for previews because Marvel has their own, DC has their own. Now IDW is starting to have their own because it's 25 years of IDW. And then there's the previews catalog, which has the Image stuff in there. I know Image has done their own catalog as well. I have not gotten the physical Image catalogs, but it is there is one out there just for Image, but Image is in the main previews catalog. So we're just going to jump in here. I'm going to start actually with IDW since that's the smallest catalog and has a lot, but it has a lot of things that are very interesting in it. So just going to dive right in. So first thing that interests me was, is Godzilla versus the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers 2, Volume 2, issue number 3. It wasn't so much the issue number 3, but just the fact that they're doing Godzilla versus Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. I have mentioned this many times in the past. I'm not a Power Rangers fan as far as the show. Never got into it. It was too campy, too cheesy. You guys know how I feel about live action, campy, cheesy stuff. Just not my cup of tea. But I have really been enjoying the Power Rangers comic stuff. Like I think it's because it's not live action. Even if there's a little bit of campy or cheesiness, it doesn't come across that way because it's like in this type of art form. But yeah, I just really have been enjoying it. I have like all the hardcover editions of the collections that are out there. And crossing over with Godzilla just makes sense. I like that they're doing a second volume. It's written by Cullen Bunn, who's an excellent writer. So very interested in this, but it would be something that I would get in collected editions. I didn't get the first volume of Godzilla versus Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. So what I'm kind of hoping is that maybe once this one is collected, that they might combine the two together into like a hardcover. So then you got two miniseries in one hardcover. That would be the ideal situation for me. So then I thought this was awesome, which is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Usagi Yojimbo's Saturday Morning Adventures. So they've been doing the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Saturday Morning Adventures, which has been fun because it just very much is like the old 80s cartoon. But now they're bringing Usagi Yojimbo into it, which is the only way I knew this character was from the Turtles stuff. So never knew that he had his own comic series, never knew anything about the character other than what I saw in the Turtles. It's not until my adult years that I started realizing that Usagi was his own entity. He wasn't tied into the Turtles. and has his own storylines. Now, I don't own any Usagi Yojimbo comics. I have read some in the past, but I know there's like some really nice collected editions out there. It might be something that I look to get in the future, but it is a character that I really do like. I think he's very cool looking. The stories that I've read of him are very good. So, I love the idea that they're making this one of the Saturday Morning Adventures. I wish they had done the Saturday Morning Adventure stuff sooner before they lost the license to G.I. Joe and Transformers. I know that they did the G.I. Joe one, which was so much fun. That was so good. And I'm hoping maybe that Image might try to do something like that again. I don't know if there would be any like licensing issues or problems with doing that. But I would love to see them do something like this where it's based off the cartoon. I wish that they had had a chance to do it for Transformers before they lost the license. But I'm very happy that they're doing these Saturday Morning Adventures with Turtles. They're doing it with Dungeons & Dragons, which is something I've been asking for a while, was that let's do it based off the cartoon characters, which is exactly what it's based off of. So those have been a lot of fun. So I'm very excited that they're doing this Turtles with Usagi as well. Then we also have Teenage Mutant Ninja... It is hard to say it fast sometimes. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Black, White, and Green, which is absolutely perfect. This is a miniseries. If you're not familiar with this type of storytelling that's become popular in the last 2 or 3 years, there's been a lot of Black, White, and Red, Black, White, and Blood, there was Red, White, and Blue, I think, for Superman. There was for Wonder Woman, there was for Batman, there was just Black and White. And then for Wonder Woman, I think it was Black, White, and Gold. And what these are is they're essentially just anthology-type stories. I don't believe any of them have ever taken place in actual continuity. They're just fun stories. But then they have a color palette of the colors that they're mentioning. So, like, Aliens just recently did Black, White, and Blood, which I thought was very clever because it allowed them to do not only red, but also allowed them to do color green because Aliens' blood is green. With this is obviously Black, White, and Green, since the Turtles are green, it allows them to play with that color palette, which, like I said, very cool. I love the idea. I'm very excited to kind of check these out. And like I said, I like the idea that they are just, it's just anthology stories. This is just like, tell a fun turtle story. So, then with after that, we also have Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the Untold Destiny of the Foot Clan. To my knowledge, this is like the last miniseries before the relaunch. It's not a reboot, it's a relaunch. It's continuing the stories as is, but it will have a new number one, and it's going to be written by Jason Aaron, who I'm very excited to see what he does with the Turtles. And I'm sure there's going to be stuff to bring you up to speed and everything else. But this Untold Destiny of the Foot Clan is the last miniseries before that relaunch. Then there's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Sourcebook number 4. I have the first two source books. It is exactly what it sounds like. It's just think of like the Handbook of the Marvel Universe. Think of Who's Who of DC. Think of the Transformers, I think it was More Than Meets the Eye or something like that. It was called, where it was basically, it's a source book. It's telling you about the characters and specific storylines and stuff like that. Shows a little bit of artwork, but mostly it's text about different characters, different events, and everything else. So this is all about the Turtles. So there's 4 of them so far. I believe it's only going to be 4 issues, so this will be the last one that's being solicited here. But it covers every character, every location, every notable event. The first two are really awesome. I haven't like read through them, but it's not the type of book that you necessarily read through unless you need to get completely caught up on what's been happening in Turtles for IDW. It's actually probably not a bad thing to do if you have not been reading any IDW Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, that you could get these 4 source books and just read them. And you would know basically all the characters that have been involved in what has happened before the relaunch happens. So it is a cool way to do that. I like it because I can kind of flip through it and read like, oh, I like this character. Let me read what they say about them. Or, oh, I don't really remember what happened with this thing. Let me read about that. Or what's this location? I love having that type of reference material. Part of me, of course, hopes that they turn all these source books into like a hardcover collection, because I like the hardcover collections, but I also like having a source book that's actually a book to put on the shelf. So, but I do like the paperbacks here, or the floppies, I should say. I think with Transformers, More Than Meets the Eye one, I think they did do trades for those, and I think last time I checked, those are like super expensive to get. I have the issues, but I was always like, oh, well, maybe I can find the trades. The trades would be cooler because I can put them on my bookshelf. But I think they're like some ridiculous pricing because there was such a low print run of them. At least I did get the issues, I think, when they came out, and I just never knew about the trades or anything like that. Then we have Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Saturday Morning Adventures number 14. So they've done multiple. This is like, again, the cartoon type stuff. They've done multiple like mini series, and then this has just been turned into like an ongoing. So that's why they're up to 14 with it. I think there was two mini series, and then finally they turned it into an ongoing. Then we have Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Turtle Power Pack Volume 1. So this collects the TMNT Amazing Adventures number 1, TMNT N number 2, TMNT Adventures number 18, TMNT New Animated Adventures number 1, and TMNT Universe number 10. So it's basically like a hodgepodge or a collection of a bunch of different turtle stuff all put together in one trade paperback. And it's pretty cheap. It's $8.99. So if you just want, are looking for just some turtles fun, especially for your kids or something like that, probably something worth picking up. Then we have a favorite title of mine right now is The Hunger and the Dusk. If you are looking for something that is just fantasy world, like a Dungeons and Dragons style fantasy story, you cannot go wrong with The Hunger and the Dusk. I think I have one issue still to read. But this is for a trade paperback of the first six issues. I am not going to get the trade because, again, I'm going to hope that when they get further in the story that they will do like a hardcover. If they don't, I'm sure this trade will be available later as well. But I love the artwork in this. The story is really well told. The characters are well written. It's just like this really well done fantasy tale. I heard that G. Willow Wilson, who is the writer of it, that she's a huge fantasy fan, loves Dungeons and Dragons and stuff like that, which explains some of the stories that she told in like X-Men and everything else, but which didn't work for me as well. But she, when she's writing actual fantasy characters in a fantasy story, it works brilliantly. And like I said, the artwork's really good. This is definitely one of those like sleeper type stories. Like, it's going to be one of those stories, like, if it disappears, like, I assume that she's going to be telling more than the six issues. From what I heard, she has a lot more story to tell. But if it doesn't go past these six issues, this is going to be one of those ones where it's going to be like a hidden gem, where it's going to be forgotten about, and then one day you'll come across the trade and be like, oh yeah, Ryan mentioned this, it was really good. And then you'll read it and you'll be like, holy crap, he was right, this is really good. So again, just cannot recommend it enough. If you're looking for just straight up fantasy type stories with like orcs and knights and all that type of stuff. So then we have Dungeons and Dragons Library Connection Collection Volume 2. I would have been very interested in this, again, if it was a hardcover edition. I saw Volume 1 came out. Now, granted, for a paperback edition, it's not a lot of pages. It's 264 pages, so it's not like a compendium where they're putting way too much into one volume. So in that respect, it's not bad. I just don't like the fact that they're calling it like a library collection, because like they've done the library editions before, which are always like these oversized hardcovers. I wish it was something like that. But this is also something I'm interested in. It is the history of IDW's Dungeons & Dragons, so it's the stories that they have been telling. So it's not relying on past Dungeons & Dragons that came before IDW had it. This is solely IDW's Dungeons & Dragons. I have a feeling that the reason that they didn't do a hardcover is because the softcover trade paperback is cheaper for them to produce and probably sells better. And from what I've been hearing and from like news and everything else, IDW is not doing that well. So they're trying to do things that would spark people's interest and everything. But with them having lost all those licenses and everything else, from what I heard, and again, you see it in the news, they had to let a lot of people go and everything else, which is sad. And I hope that's not going to continue to be the case. I really have always liked IDW, the stuff that they put out. I've always really enjoyed it. So yeah, I might look into getting the volume one and then getting this volume two. We'll see. Cause again, it's not too many pages. I was under the impression it'd be like a compendium, which is typically like an omnibus, but in paperback form. And I am not a fan of that. Like, I don't need 1,000 pages on a trade paperback type setup, because that's just going to fall apart when I start trying to read it. So, but yeah, we'll see. It's very affordable. It's only $30. And you're getting, it collects the Infestation miniseries and the 2012 annual featuring Abraxas Wren, the Dungeons and Dragons Forgotten Realms miniseries, and the 2022 annual. So, and they give some samples of the inside page. The artwork looks really good. So, then jumping ahead, we also have John Romita's The Amazing Spider-Man Volume 2 Artisan Edition. So, Artisan Editions are like Artist Editions, except it's not an entire issue. Artisan Editions are basically, here's a bunch of pages from this one, here's a cover from that one. It's basically what they were able to put together. Because a lot of this early stuff, sometimes the original entire issue doesn't exist anymore. Either pages were destroyed or pages were sold, and they don't know who they were sold to. So they can't get the full issue. So they're like, here's some pages from this issue, this one, and this one. This is John Romita, not John Romita Jr., but John Romita Sr.'s artwork, and which I've always really liked. I have held off on getting artist editions. This artisan edition is also a trade paperback. So again, they're not doing the full-blown big artist editions right now. But I thought it was very cool because I do like John Romita Sr.'s artwork. Not a big fan of modern day John Romita Jr. stuff. That can take me off of a book right away, but Sr.'s stuff is always like a classic. Going into Marvel. So a lot of stuff to talk about with Marvel. One is we have Blood Hunt that's coming up. I am very excited about this. I've been burned a few times when it comes to events that I'm excited for, like Dark Crisis of Infinite Earth. I was super excited for that. And then I read it, and like the first issue was good, and it just started like becoming an incoherent mess for me. I need to go back and read just the event, like all together, and see if it works better, like in reading it in one sitting. But like, I just remember like being super excited about that and what they were talking about doing and seeing the artwork and everything. The artwork was still fantastic. But then reading the story, I was just very disappointed. I was also excited because of the writer on it was Joshua Williamson, who I think does a fantastic job writing. But like I said, the story just left something to be desired. I haven't been excited about some of the other Marvel events that they've done, like a Gang War I heard mixed things on. I didn't read Day of Judgment. Axe Day of Judgment. I do plan on getting caught up on my X-Men reading, which will eventually let me read Axe Day of Judgment. I know I could probably just read it without getting caught up on X-Men, but I'm trying to read all of X-Men and get caught up. Why? Especially when I hear like how bad it is. it's just, I've always been an X-Men fan. I kind of want to get caught up on things with them. And what I'm doing is I'm reading at least one X-Men title a day. I did have like a couple weeks where I fell off, but I was also sick and other stuff going on with the comic, Stealth Hammer comic and everything else, where I wasn't reading barely any issues. But there for like almost 3 months, I was reading an X-Men title, at least one X-Men title every day. And it got me up to, I had started in 2021. I'm now up to 2022, like being in 2022. I'm reading right now X Lives and X Deaths of Wolverine, which is a weird story. not really a fan of it. It's bizarre because really both stories, you think, because they came out like one after the other, it would be like X Lives number one, X Deaths number one. You would think like they, and they're even packaged together in a trade and hardcover. So you would think like, oh, these stories go together. They don't. I don't get it. Like, I don't understand the connections between the stories. It's two completely separate stories that are going on. So it's really weird. But I'm at the end of that one. There's some titles like X-Men, the main X-Men title I'm enjoying. I loved Hellions was fantastic. X-Force has been really good. Marauders has been really good. But then there's titles like Excalibur, that's a train wreck. There's New Mutants is hit or miss. There was some elements in the stories that I liked, some that I didn't. I didn't really care for the artwork in where I'm at right now. But it's like some of the story is good. X-Corp I thought was actually really good. I know a lot of people bashed it, but I actually liked it. I was surprised because I went into it thinking, I've heard bad things about this. Let's give it a go. And I read that and actually really enjoyed it. X-Factor's been a train wreck. I don't like X-Factor at all. So we'll see. I'm going to keep going. I want to get caught up. I'm not going to likely be caught up by the time the new stuff comes out after the Krakoan Age that has just recently been announced, but I should be caught up hopefully before the end of the year if I can keep up with this pace, so which is not tough to do. Like, we read one comic a day. If that's the only one I read is the X-Men one, then that's what I've been doing. So anyways, that all came from me not really getting into the events a lot lately. However, Blood Hunt I'm very interested in because I am a Midnight Suns fan, so I like the supernatural side of Marvel Universe. And I like what they've been building up with Blade, and what they've been like building up in the background with vampires. Like, if you've been reading the Moon Knight series, there's been a lot of stuff with vampires going on with that. With the Blade series, it's been the best Blade, in my opinion, the best Blade story that they have done ever at Marvel. So that's been really good. They were building up some of the vampire stuff in Jason Aaron's Avengers stuff with Blade. So all this has been kind of building up, and that's when I like an event, is when it's like, okay, we've been building up to this for a while, and now, like, there's, I don't know if it's an eclipse or something happens, but it basically, they, well, kind of know what happens. Because I read a preview story, and they, basically, the vampires tap into the Dark Force magic users and use them to cover the sun, which is not good for anyone, except for the vampires. This is going to be a very Blade-centric story. There's a lot of little mini-series that I'm very excited about. So wanted to mention with some of those. So we're going to have a Dracula Blood Hunt. So it's Dracula along with Blade's daughter, who is known as Bloodline. I liked her mini-series. It wasn't great. I feel like there's a lot more potential with this character than what they've been doing. So I'm kind of interested to see what happens here. They are doing a Midnight Suns Blood Hunt miniseries for 3 issues. I am super excited about that. The artwork looks fantastic. Wish it was more than just 3 issues. Hopefully if it sells well, they'll do a main story or something like that. The only thing I was disappointed was they did an interview with Brian Hill about it, and he didn't say anything about the story. He just basically like talked about the Midnight Suns and blah, 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 and like, but he gave no hint what the story was about, which I guess to a degree I understand, but at the same time, everyone else that they interviewed for this like previews catalog thing talked about like what you can expect, what the story is basically about and stuff like that. And I wish I had known what that was for this. So all they have for issue 2 here is, what do you get when you cross 2 ghost riders, a daywalker, their supernatural hunting friends, and a horde of vampires swarming the earth? A whole lot of fangs, fire, and penance. That doesn't tell me anything. There's going to be a Black Panther Blood Hunt, which I find interesting. There's going to be a Strange Academy one. That's one that I'm very interested in. There's a Union Jack the Ripper Blood Hunt, which I'm very interested in that because if you know the character of Union Jack, he's always been tied. It's a legacy type situation where it's like there's always a Union Jack. And then he's always has ties to hunting down vampires. People might not know that, especially like just looking at him. He looks like he's like a espionage type character or a Captain America type character. He's really not. He's someone that fights the supernatural. So So I'm very interested in that. And then there's this other title called Blood Hunters. It's a miniseries. I'm very interested in this. It's has stuff like Werewolf by Night in it. It has Dagger in it and Elsa Bloodstone and Kate Bishop's in it. So like a lot of characters that I really like. I'm a huge fan of Elsa Bloodstone. I became a fan of hers from the whole Secret Wars crossover that happened and her story that she had. I felt like, okay, I really like this character. I did get her first appearance miniseries, which I was able to get, I think, for like $20 because no one was interested in her. It was before the Werewolf by Night one-shot thing on Disney Plus came out. So, and then all of a sudden it like skyrocketed. I ended up selling the miniseries for like $80, which is a good return on my investment. It stinks to not have the original miniseries, but I've read it. It's not anything great. It's okay. It's very TNA, especially for a Marvel title. But it's fine. Like, but I really liked how they developed the character of Elsa Bloodstone in recent years. There's been like some one shots and some appearances of her in like Deadpool and stuff like that. And I really liked her. She comes across as like, Tomb Raider meets Blade in some respects. Like, she fights supernatural beings and monsters, but she's got like a Tomb Raider Lara Croft vibe to her, which I can really appreciate. And I like her modern day costume where she's got like this orange jumpsuit, with a, like a leather, coat and everything else. It's a cool look. There's also going to be a Wolverine Blood Hunt. And I think that's kind of cool and interesting. Some of the artwork looks amazing for it. And then there's going to be some one-shots with the X-Men characters. So there's going to be X-Men Blood Hunt Jubilee number one, which makes a whole lot of sense. And I don't say that sarcastically, because if you know your X-Men history of recent years, probably in the last 10 years, Jubilee became a vampire for a little while. I don't remember how she ended up getting out of being a vampire. I know that she's no longer a vampire. I don't know if it's that she got killed and then she was brought back during the Krakoan Age, so she was no longer a vampire. That may have been what it was. It may have been as simple as that. But she was a vampire for a little while. And I thought those stories were kind of interesting, even though it took away from her being just Jubilee. But I still found it interesting. And obviously she got better. So I think that this makes total sense. And then there's going to be Blood Hunt Magic, which also makes sense to me because magic deals with the limbo and demons and everything else. So her taking on vampires totally makes sense to me. There's going to be an Amazing Spider-Man Blood Hunt, which also makes sense because you're dealing with, you have Morbius is one of Spider-Man's villains or whatever. And Morbius is big into the Midnight Suns and all that type of stuff. So it just makes sense that you'd have a Spider-Man one going on. Then we have X-Men number 35, which is Legacy number 700. It's the end of the era. It's the end of the Krakoan era. So basically the stuff that I was mentioning that I'm reading is taking me up. It will take me up to this. So this is like 2 months from now, because this is the catalog for June. So I won't be caught up by June to be able to read this issue. But this issue won't be available on Unlimited, which is how I'm reading all these comics, is Marvel Unlimited. This one won't be available for like 3 months afterwards. So you're talking like, okay, it comes out in June, so it'll be July, August. It'll be September by the time this one's available on Unlimited. So maybe by then I'll be like at least mostly caught up or getting close to getting caught up. Because I was even figuring out, even with all the X-Men titles that come out, like there's a lot of them that come out, but like I can knock out like a full year's worth of one title if they had it coming out like once a month. I can knock out like two almost three titles, two and a half titles in a month if I'm reading one issue. So like I can get caught up on a full year of two and a half titles within 1 month. So it's doable for me to get caught up, but there's a lot of titles and I'm planning to read all of them. So every side miniseries, every one shot that comes out. And then again, I have to like read the Inhumans stuff, and I'm caught up to Avengers up to Day of Judgment. So like once I'm caught up with Inhumans up to that point and X-Men up to that point, then I can read Day of Judgment, I can read Avengers, and I can get completely caught up on Avengers stuff. I can get completely caught up on Fantastic Four stuff, because all that stuff, I got right up to Day of Judgment. I was like, okay, I'm going to stop here until I can get caught up on X-Men stuff. So, then this will be interesting for our buddy Travis, who is a big Uncle Scrooge fan, and I don't know if you guys knew that or not, but he legitimately is a big Uncle Scrooge fan. They're doing a Uncle Scrooge and the Infinity Dime one-shot. So it'd be cool if it was an ongoing or a mini series, but they are doing a one shot. It's written by Jason Aaron, which I find very interesting. There is going to be a variant cover by Walt Simonson. There's going to be a variant cover by J. Scott Campbell. There's going to be a variant cover by Scotty Young, Peach Momoko, which is also weird. Frank Miller is going to do a variant cover, which his covers lately have not been that great. There's going to be an Alex Ross variant, like just, it's crazy. So yeah, just like if you're interested in something kind of fun for all ages, got Uncle Scrooge coming out. Then we have the Ultimates number one coming out. I have been really, really enjoying the new Ultimate Universe stuff. So I have read Ultimate Spider-Man is one of the best comics that are out there right now. If you are having problems with Spider-Man in like the regular Amazing Spider-Man, like I mentioned Gang War and stuff like that earlier, if that stuff has not been your cup of tea and you're like, I haven't really been enjoying Spider-Man at all lately, you need to read Ultimate Spider-Man. It is, yes, it's a Spider-Man who's in his 30s before he finally gets bitten by the spider, but he actually makes that choice to do it. He has a family with MJ. They have two kids together. Uncle Ben's actually alive, and he's good friends with J. Jonah Jameson. Aunt May is actually the one who is dead. There's a whole reason behind that. But it feels like Spider-Man, and that's the big thing. It's like, it feels like how Spider-Man should feel. Then I read Black Panther. I've read the first issue. I have not read the second issue yet. For no other reason, I just haven't read it yet. Like, I absolutely loved the Black Panther first issue. The artwork was beautiful. The storyline was compelling. It's not a huge departure from what we know of Black Panther. It's basically what, like, Wakanda's been kept hidden. But now it's feeling like it needs to come out and show itself against some of the nations that are out there. And they've been actually personally attacked. There is Killmonger is out there, and he kind of works like a freedom fighter. And he has Storm working with him, and it seems like they're a couple. It's done really, really well, and the artwork's beautiful on it. Ultimate X-Men. This is hit or miss for a lot of people, and I'm kind of somewhere in the middle. So if you're expecting an X-Men title, you're not really getting that right now. This is, it's written by Peach Momoko, who I will tell you for a fact, when it comes to her, for me, I have not been a fan of her writing at all. Like, I have read a few stories. She did a Star Wars story. She did a Darth Vader story for an anthology. I didn't like it. I didn't like them at all. There was no words to them, which made it tough to understand what the hell was going on. And her artwork can be very eclectic at times. So I was very, very lost. I'm not the biggest fan of her artwork. There are some of her stuff I think is beautiful. Like, especially when she does like busts of characters and stuff like that. Like, I have a Ghost Rider one and like a Moon Knight one like that, where I think it's absolutely gorgeous. But when she's doing like full figures and stuff like that, it's just, doesn't totally work for me. I will say that I'm very interested in the story. It reads like a manga. So if you don't like manga, do not read Ultimate X-Men. You will not like it. I am kind of like lukewarm when it comes to manga. There's been some that I've liked and some that I have not. I'm not the manga audience, but there's been stuff that I've liked. And this is something that I like, but I don't, it seems like it's going to be a slow burn. So we get introduced to Armor. And then in the second issue, which I've read, there's another character named May, who kind of seems like a young version of Storm, except not black. She seems like she's Asian as well. And then it seems like there's like a Shadow King character out there. There's definitely some creepy horror type vibes to it, which I really like that. Because it's kind of a different take. It has that New Mutants, early days of New Mutants feel to it when they started getting into like more horror type things like Demon Bear and everything like that. So it has a little bit of feel of that to it. My guess is that this armor and this Storm character are going to like continue to meet others with powers and they'll eventually form the X-Men. That's my guess, to like battle this Shadow character. And again, it seems like he might be the Shadow King. Not 100% sure. Because again, it's manga storytelling. It jumps around a lot. It doesn't tell linear story sometimes. Like, it makes assumptions that the reader knows what's going on. And for the most part, you do. But then also makes like jumps, like all of a sudden these two characters are friends and they act like super friendly with each other. And it's like, that's not how it works in life. But like you can be friends with someone quickly, but like, this is like weird type. I don't know if you've ever watched anime or manga and like, I think you know what I mean by that. It's just like the relationships progress really fast. So, but like I said, I've liked it enough where I'm continuing to read it. I think it's good. The artwork, again, can be kind of hit or miss, but it's very manga directed. Like, if you like manga, I think you would like Ultimate X-Men. Ultimates, however, I am super excited about. I was very much looking forward to this title coming out. I don't know the writer well enough. Like, the writer's name is Dennis Camp. I am familiar with the name, but I can't think for life of me of anything that I've read by Dennis before. And then there's Juan Frigger is the artist. Art looks really good from what I can see here. But yeah, I'm very excited to see what happens with the Ultimates. It's a very different world than in the past. So then we have a Thanos annual coming out. And it's got artwork by Salvador LaRocca and Sarah Pichelli. So those two names alone are enough to make me go, okay, I'm interested in this. I'd like to read this. It's the annual event of 2024. And so I'm just kind of curious what this is going to lead into. It's after the events of his series, Thanos goes off to find the Infinity Stones, which he's always doing. So like, is this anything new? But he says, but wait, there are 6 Infinity Stones, but only 5 people listed. So it's like it's kind of like Thanos Quest all over again. So like, he has a list of names of those that have the Infinity Stones and he's going to go get them from them. So it sounds very like Infinity Quest take 2. Then we have Venomverse Reborn. So I like Spider-Verse. I've liked the Venomverse stuff where you're just introducing characters. It gets silly and tiresome at times, but it's just seeing different characters as Venom type characters. And some of them are unique and some of them are plays off of characters that we know and stuff like that. Then they did the Death of Venomverse and I was like, okay, good. Like, you've done a couple of miniseries and now you're doing the Death of Venomverse and now they're doing Venomverse Reborn. And probably because they were like, well, shit, people want to keep reading these types of characters. So I'm a sucker for them, but I'm getting a little tired. Like, okay, can we stop with the multiverse characters? Because that's literally all these books are for. It's just, hey, here's this multiverse type character and we're never going to do anything with him again unless he or she becomes like this ultimate sensation, like they did with Spider-Gwen. Like, if all of a sudden people are just like, oh my God, we need to see more of this particular character, then they might do something with that. And then that's honestly what I think why people buy these issues. I buy them because I like the different takes on Venom and everything else. But I think there's a lot of people that are speculators that they buy them because it's like, it's the first appearance of these 4 characters that all are going to have Venom thing. And then we'll never see them again. So, then we have, Helverine, which I thought was interesting. So I don't know how I feel about this one. So I liked what they did in Ghost Rider, where they had Ghost Rider and Wolverine, team up. They, fought a bad guy. They became like, they joined their powers together. Like, Ghost Rider like possessed Wolverine. He became Helverine, and evidently they're bringing that character back for this miniseries. It's by Benjamin Percy, who's done the Ghost Rider series, and I've really liked it, so I'm giving it a chance because of that. But just, it's again one of those things, like, it's almost like the multiverse character. So it's like, okay, it's kind of like, what if Wolverine was also the Ghost Rider? But we'll see. We'll see how it is. Then we get have Get Fury, which I find very interesting. It's basically Frank Castle was sent to go assassinate Nick Fury, which I think, and it's like takes place in the past. So I think that's very interesting. So I'm eager to kind of read that story. Then we have some facsimile editions, which I think is really cool. They've been doing all year, this year at Marvel, they've been doing Amazing Spider-Man facsimile editions, where it was like the first appearance in the in Amazing Spider-Man of him being in the black costume. And then they were going to just do every issue for a full year of him in the black costume. And the first one that they came out with had the regular cover, and then it had a foil cover, and then it had like a variant cover. And I got the foil cover, and I thought they were going to do a foil cover for every single one of them, because that's what they're doing for the other facsimile that they're doing all year, which is they're doing Marvel Superhero Secret Wars. And this is number 6. So for this, they are having every issue is coming out as a facsimile. They're also having a variant cover for each one, but they're also having a foil cover for each one. So I thought they were going to do that for Spider-Man also. So I was a little disappointed that they didn't do that. But I'm very excited that they're doing the foil cover for Secret Wars. Those are the ones I'm interested in. I have like a trade for Secret Wars. I think they did Omnibus, which I would like to get at some point. To have all the, like, a lot of the tie-ins and everything else. But Secret Wars, as far as just like single issues, I want to have something special. So I want to have the foil covers, because I just think those would be cool. Then they're doing Godzilla number 1 facsimile edition, because they're doing an omnibus for Godzilla. So I thought that was kind of cool. Then jumping ahead, we have Ghost Rider Final Vengeance. It's by Benjamin Percy. I read the first issue of this, and it's good. It's basically the Spirit of Vengeance. Zarathos does not want to be joined with Johnny Blaze anymore, because Johnny Blaze has too much willpower. He controls the situation too much, and Zarathos just wants to go and wreak vengeance everywhere. He leaves Johnny Blaze in a really bad situation. Johnny Blaze is actually fighting like this giant demon spider thing. And then the Ghost Rider leaves him, and he's just kind of like there. And there's this giant spider who's been killing a lot of people. And it leaves him there. And then the whole rest of the issue was the Spirit of Vengeance finding people that want vengeance, have been wronged and stuff like that, and possessing them and having stuff happen. And then it moves on because it feels like it's not the right fit. And then finally it finds what it feels is the right fit. So we'll see what happens after that. But the first issue was good. I liked it. Then we have Aliens What If, which I found very interesting. I've not read this yet, but it's basically Paul Reiser and Leon Reiser, which I think is his son, and Adam Goldberg, who should be no stranger to people here. They wrote this, and Brian Volkweis, who we've had on the show, he's the one that did The Toys That Made Us, and The Movies That Made Us, and everything. So it's this whole, what if Carter Burke had lived? So basically, what if Paul Reiser's character lived? What would have happened? So I find that very interesting and compelling. And I like the idea that they're doing a what if for Aliens. So, very cool. Then we have Star Wars Ahsoka number 1. This is the comic book adaptation of the TV series. I really liked the TV series. I really enjoyed it a lot. I wanted there to be more, which I think there will be. But I especially really like some of the covers that they have for this one. There's like the cover by Ken Lashley that I think looks really cool. There's also a variant cover by Akka, AKA, that I think looks really great. So if nothing else, I like them for the covers. Then we have Star Wars The High Republic number 8, Phase 3. You can tell which version of High Republic you're in when it comes to the Star Wars High Republic by the color on the title art. So the phase one, if I'm remembering right, phase one had had the box that the Star Wars name was in gold, and then it had white lettering. Phase two had, I think, white lettering, but then had a blue box. And now phase three, it's a black box with gold lettering, gold and white lettering. So I have not been reading High Republic. I am trying to get caught up on just Star Wars stuff. So I am reading like Star Wars, Bounty Hunters, Darth Vader, and Dr. Aphra. And I think that's all the ones I'm reading right now. So I'm getting caught up on all those. And I know a couple of those titles have ended, like Dr. Aphra ended, Bounty Hunters ended. So I'm getting caught up on those. Those I should be caught up with by the summer, and then I can jump into High Republic stuff. So then we have Darth Maul, Black, White, and Red. I was mentioning that earlier with the Turtles. This one's Darth Maul, so you're seeing artwork that's just using the color tones of black, white, and red. And it's anthology story, so again, you don't need to know anything else. It's not tying into any type of continuity that I know of with any of these. I've read the Darth Vader one and stuff, so it's just stories with Darth Maul. If you like the Darth Maul character, I would recommend picking them up and reading just some stories with that character. Then we have Darth Vader number 47, which I heard Darth Vader is supposed to end fairly soon. We'll see. Then we have Jango Fett, it's a miniseries, number 404 solicited here. I have the first issue. I have not read it yet. Then we have Star Wars number 47. Then we get into the collected editions, which we have Ghost Rider 2099 Omnibus, which I found very interesting. So they did do Spider-Man 2099. I think I know there's one volume. I believe there's a second volume Omnibus, or there's going to be a second volume Omnibus, but the first Omnibus just covers the stuff that came out in the 90s. For Spider-Man 2099. I think the second omnibus is going to cover like more recent series that involve the same character. So they did Spider-Man. Then they did X-Men 2099 as an omnibus. So my guess was that they were going to then do Doom, because Doom is praised as being like one of the best 2099 titles. And I agree, it was. It was excellently done. So I thought they would do that. Instead, they did Ghost Rider, which I just found a very interesting choice. So I liked the series. It just collects issues 1 through 25. So it's not going to be a very big omnibus. 25 issues is still a decent amount, but it's not like the massive size ones. So I just found it to be an interesting choice. I eventually would like to get the omnibus editions for the 2099 stuff. I have all of the issues of 2099 stuff. There might be like a couple Spider-Man ones I'm missing, I think, but that's about it. Like I have the entire everything else. So, and I don't know if they'll ever do like, I assume they'll do Doom. I don't know if they'll ever do Ravage or Punisher. Maybe they'll put both those together. Although both of them did run, like Punisher ran for a little while. And then there's the ancillary titles like 2099 Unlimited, Fantastic Four 2099, the World of 2099 World of Tomorrow, and then there was like some one shots and everything else. So I don't know if they'll ever collect all of 2099 in Omnibus Edition. It'd be interesting if they do. Then we have ROM, the original years, the original Marvel years Omnibus Volume 3. I believe this wraps up everything that was ROM that was original Marvel years. So it collects issues 51 through 75, annuals 3 and 4, and Incredible Hulk number 296. So this should be, like I said, I believe this is the last of the ROM series collected in Omnibus Edition, which is very cool. Then I found this to be interesting. They're doing a Dazzler Omnibus. It collects a lot of like Dazzler's first appearances or first appearance, like crossovers with Spider-Man, a Dazzler ongoing evidently that went from issues 1 through 42, it says. I didn't know she had a series that went that long. Basically, this is a huge Beast of stuff. Speaking of Beasts, there's Beauty and the Beast, numbers 1 through 4, Secret Wars 2, number 4, and material from What If, number 33, and Marvel Fanfare, number 38. So if you are a big Dazzler fan, this is the book for you. I really like the character. Dazzler is a favorite of mine, but I'm not interested in Omnibus 4. But I also like Dazzler from the 80s, when she looked basically like Olivia Newton-John. She had the headband, she had the leather jacket, she had the blue jumpsuit on with the star on the front of it. That's my Dazzler. Then they're doing Tomb of Dracula, Volume 4, Marvel Masterworks. I'm glad they're continuing with this. But it collects Tomb of Dracula 31 through 40, Giant Size Dracula 4 and 5, material from Vampire Tales numbers 8 and 9, and Marvel Preview 3 and 8. They've been doing a really great job with these Marvel Masterworks of Tomb of Dracula. I hope they continue until the series is done. I've been very disappointed when it comes to Tomb of Dracula stuff that they've done. So they did trades for a little while. It was supposed to be the complete collection, and then those stopped. And then they did it again, and I think they did finish it. It went like 6 volumes. I did get all of them, but then I was getting these Marvel Masterworks, and I'm like, I'd rather have the Marvel Masterworks. So I sold the trades because they were going for a decent amount of money. So I'm hoping that my gambling pays off, because I want to have, my God, that sounded like Dracula. I want to suck your blood. I want to have all of these in a nice hardcover edition. I heard that they're supposed to do reprints of Tomb of Dracula omnibus editions. That's very cool. I do like the Marvel Masterworks a little bit better, because they're more manageable. I like the oversizedness of the omnibus editions. I have a lot of omnibus editions. But like I said, with the Marvel Masterworks, I like it because it's like, it's just more manageable to, like, you don't have to be sitting at a table to read one of them. Speaking of omnibus editions, we have X-Men Extinction Agenda Omnibus Hardcover. So this is, it's interesting. What they've been doing is, they released all the omnibus editions of like X-Men, and then they went into like Uncanny X-Men. And they would do like volumes 1 through 3 or whatever it was. And then they did Uncanny X-Men. It was like volumes 1 through 4 or 1 through 5. And then they did the Jim Lee ones with Chris Claremont, which is volumes 1 and 2. So this one involves Extinction Agenda. A lot of the issues in this are in, I believe, the Volume 5 Omnibus of Uncanny X-Men. So if you have that already, and you don't have this, like, and you want to get this because this has more of the Extinction Agenda story in it, you're basically going to be double-dipping a lot. Now, I did not get Volume 5 of, I don't know how I missed it, but I did not get it, of X-Men. I do have Volume 4. So this works out perfectly for me, because it fills in that gap of stories that I want to read. And I do, however, have the deluxe hardcover of Extinction Agenda. So I would still be kind of double dipping a bit with this title, because I have the Extinction Agenda story, but I don't have a lot of the tie-ins and everything else that are in here. So it fills a gap, but I'm still kind of double dipping. But I just want to let you guys know, because I saw somebody that got super excited because they got Volume 5 of Uncanny X-Men, and then they saw this and they were like, damn it, like, now, like, I would rather have this Extinction Agenda one because it has more material in it than have the Volume 5. So if you did not get Volume 5, I would say hold off and get and pre-order this Extinction Agenda one. Then we have Marvel Gods trade paperback. I read the first, this was by Jonathan Hickman. It's got Valerio Schiti artwork. The artwork looks great. I read the first issue and I just don't get it. You have this like Doctor Strange type character instead of using Doctor Strange, although you have Doctor Strange appearing in this issue, in these issues. But he's talking to this new character that they act like he's always been around, and these other like quote unquote gods have always been around. The story was interesting, but it read very much like an indie book story taking place in the Marvel Universe, if that makes any sense. It's kind of like this story, at least the first issue, I have the other issues, I have not read them, but it's kind of like if you took out the Marvel characters from this and just did this story, it would be almost no different. It really didn't feel like it had ties into the Marvel universe. Now, maybe the later issues did, I don't know. But everybody that I have seen talk about this has kind of had the same thoughts and ideas with it, which is that they don't really understand why this book exists. Like, it was supposed to be potentially something that would have major ramifications in the Marvel universe, and it really hasn't. So, yeah. So the trade's out. I plan on reading the rest of the miniseries and seeing what happens. But then we have Doctor Strange Fall Sunrise trade paperback. I heard this was really, really good as far as artwork, but the story was weird. So take that what you will. Then we have Doctor Strange by Mark Waid, Volume 2. I really liked that that run on the character. It was a bit different, but I liked the fact that it was different. Then we have Star Wars Mace Windu Twilight Run trade paperback. I read the first issue of this. It's an okay Star Wars story. I feel like Star Wars, I may have mentioned this before, I feel like Star Wars, the thing that they have a tough time with when it comes to Star Wars comics is they don't know anything that Disney's going to do. Like, and it's not a knock against Disney. It's just like, okay, the reason why, here's the thing. This might not be what people want to hear, because people want to believe that the Dark Horse stuff was amazing and incredible, and why did they have to wipe all that stuff out, and why couldn't we just have the Legends stuff and everything else? And I get that. You couldn't do the Legends stories, not nowadays. You just couldn't with some of the characters, actors, based on what age they are and everything else. But here's the thing. The reason why a lot of those Dark Horse stories were really good, and not all of them were. I don't have rose-colored glasses. Not all of them were. But the reason why some of them were really good was because there were no talks or plans to be doing any more Star Wars. So the writers could do whatever they wanted with some of these characters, you know, within reason. I mean, obviously they didn't want them killing off some characters, although they still, you know, spoiler from years later, but they killed off Chewbacca and stuff like that. So, like, there was things that they could do that caused drama, that allowed characters to breathe and have consequences and stuff like that. Whereas now when you're telling a story, even a Mace Windu story where, hey, Mace Windu died in, you know, Revenge of the Sith, or did he? So, like, Disney could bring him back somehow, or Disney might have stories that they want to tell of him being younger, or, like, you just don't know. So, therefore, you have to tell, like, lukewarm, no pun intended, lukewarm stories of these characters where there's no real sense of consequence. Not saying it can't be done well. It can be. But it's just really tough because it's like, okay, well, everything still has to kind of be status quo by the time you're done. So the story can't be as thrilling as hopefully you'd like to be, or have as much of an impact on the mythos as maybe you would like it to have. So, like I said, the first issue of Mace Windu, it was fine. It's very not memorable. I didn't go, oh man, I can't wait for the next issue. But it wasn't bad either. I didn't read it and go, well, this is crap. But it was forgettable. And I feel like that's what's happening with a lot of the Star Wars stories. And I hate saying that because I really like a lot of the stuff that's been coming out. But they save all the best stories for TV series and movies. So the books and the comics are hard-pressed to tell something that's super compelling. Like, I feel like they would be better off pulling from characters that Disney would have zero interest in doing anything. Like, pull out some of these background characters and tell some awesome stories with them. I feel like the reason that certain things are being done, like they did High Republic and everything else, I don't know if those are good. I've heard bad things about them. But it's like, again, are they not good because they couldn't, like, really push the envelope with the characters and stuff? I don't know. Because I've heard plans of them doing stuff with High Republic, but nothing's happened yet. So it's a tough situation. Star Wars Modern Era Epic Collections Skywalker Strikes trade paperback. So if you were wanting to get it in a trade paperback format, then, you know, this is your chance to do that. And then Star Wars Legends, the Thrawn Trilogy. This is fantastic. So it is basically you're getting Star Wars Heir of the Empire miniseries, Star Wars Dark Force Rising miniseries 1-6, and then Star Wars The Last Command 1-6. So these are the stories that were the comic adaptation of the Timothy Zahn books that were the first Star Wars books that came out in a long time that were continuing the saga. So these are legends. They don't exist anymore as far as part of canon, but they are excellent stories. I am actually planning on reading and reviewing the first issue of Heir to the Empire. I'm going to be doing, one of my plans is to do a Thrawn episode. So I'm going to do a Thrawn episode where I read the first issue of Heir to the Empire, which is a book adaptation, the first issue of Thrawn that Marvel did that was the new canon continuity, which is also based on the book by Zahn, and then Thrawn Alliances, which just recently came out, and do issue one of that, which is also in canon, also by Zahn, also a book adaptation. So I have not read the books of Thrawn or Thrawn Alliances. I have read, of course, Heir to the Empire, which I absolutely love. So I won't be doing any comparisons to the novels or anything like that, but I think it'd be interesting to like hit the first issues of Thrawn miniseries. I just thought it'd be kind of fun. So with that said, I'm going to take a pause here. That gets us through all the Marvel stuff. I got a text message that my wife's on her way home, so I just want to kind of like clean a few things up. And then I will continue, hopefully later tonight, going through DC and the rest of the previews catalog. Okay, and we're back, and it is now nighttime, same day as earlier, but now it's nighttime, about 11:20 at night. I have still the previews catalog to go through, and the Kinect catalog for DC. I was going to do like another top 10 for this episode, but I think this will be enough. I do have some ideas for like some top 5s and top 10s to include in future episodes, so stay tuned for that. So yeah, plenty to talk about here. I'm going to go through the previews catalog, and I'm going to save the DC one for last. So going through the previews catalog, and again, this is for titles that are coming out in June, potentially June, maybe later. They do have the advertisements here for Free Comic Book Day. There's a lot of good stuff coming out for Free Comic Book Day. So just to touch on some of the highlights here. There's The Worlds of James Tinian IV. I thought that this would be one that I would want to pick up, but I did find out from looking on the website and actually looking at previews here that it's just reprinted material. So because it had stuff like The Woods, which I really love that series by him. It had Something's Killing the Children. And so I thought that would be, fun stuff to read. But like I said, it just ends up being reprinted material. There's no new stories in it. But if you have not checked out Something's Killing the Children or The Woods by James Tinian, I would definitely recommend getting this on Free Comic Book Day. And I saw there's Hellboy and Stranger Things. This is new material and I always love getting the Hellboy one. To read. Obviously, I love Stranger Things, so I'm very interested in this one. Then we have Johnny Quest is actually coming back as a comic series, and this is original material, of course, because it's a new series that's going to be starting. Now, I don't know if this will be, if it's considered new material now because the series hasn't started yet. So, in other words, will we be reading a story in this that will just be reprinted in the first issue of Johnny Quest, like, is this a lead-up story to that will just be in that issue? I've seen that happen, and I've seen them say, like, oh, this is original material. Yeah, it's original material at that time. However, when the first issue comes out, you end up reading the exact same thing again. So
So hopefully that's not the case. But I am very excited about Jenny Quest. I did like watching the cartoon when I was a kid. So very excited about that. Then we have Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2024 edition. This is written by Paul Aller. Art by Andy Kuhn. And this focuses on the character, newer character that goes by the name of Night Watcher. And appears to be a turtle in like some type of armor. So again, I'm not caught up on my Turtles reading. But one thing I wanted to mention is I had mentioned earlier in this episode that I was hoping that they would turn the source book into a hardcover. And I felt like that was just like wishful thinking. I didn't think that would actually happen. But I went to look up on Amazon, like IDW collections, to see like what type of hardcovers have been out there. I knew they did Turtles as a hardcover collection. I knew they did Transformers. I knew they did G.I. Joe. I knew they did Sonic the Hedgehog. And I think I saw that they also did Star Trek, which I'm not interested in that. But I just wanted to see, like, is there something else out there? Or did I miss any? I have all the Transformers ones. I have all the G.I. Joe ones they ever did. And I have the Sonic ones. And I have all the Turtles ones. And the Turtles ones are still, like, ongoing. They're still coming out. So since I was looking for that, I was just kind of like scrolling through the list. Wasn't looking to get anything, but just kind of curious what was out there. And I saw there's a solicitation in there, or a pre-order, I should say, on Amazon for the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles sourcebook hardcover collection. So evidently they are going to take the sourcebook issues and make them their own hardcover that will be done in the style of the Turtles hardcovers that have been coming out. And I think if I remember right, it's coming out in September. So I was very excited to see that because that's what I ideally wanted for my shelf. At least I like having the floppies. The floppies are great, but especially for a reference book like that, a reference material like that, I love having it in a nice hardcover book, and the fact that it'll match up with all the other hardcovers from Turtles. Perfect. So, and I'm kind of curious if IDW will continue doing those hardcovers with the relaunch, or if they will stop with whichever one is issue that brings it up to like issue 150. And then with the relaunch, if they'll just go to just trades or something like that. Cause again, IDW seems like it's having a hard, tough time. And I'm not even sure if they're going to do all the hardcovers leading up to 150. I hope that they do. It would be a shame to stop now. I think they're up to like 13 or 14 volumes of it. I have all of them. They are amazing hardcover collections. Like, they're the ideal hardcover collection, in my opinion, because they are a bit oversized. So you get larger artwork. But they're nice, nicely bound. They look amazing. They're all very uniform as far as their spines and everything else. And they're not too many issues. Like, it's a good chunk of issues. It's like a good, like, I think like 15 to 20 issues in each one. But it's not so many issues like an omnibus has where it's cumbersome to hold it and read it. So I hope that they continue with those. Then we also have Transformers and G.I. Joe Welcome to the Energon Universe special. This also has original material, so I'm very excited for this to be coming out. Then we also have Ultimate Universe, Spider-Man number one. This also says it's going to have original material, so that's very cool. Then we're going to have a Blood Hunt and X-Men number one. Again, says it's going to be original material, so I almost always get, pretty much always get, the Marvel and DC ones because they have like launches into new things. Now with previews, it will not show us what the DC ones are. And I think I remember seeing what some of the DC ones were, and none of them really excited me. I don't think there was like a new event one. I could be wrong, but I don't think there was a new like event one that they had, which was a bit disappointing. So, I'll have to double check on that. But going through the rest of the Free Comic Book Days issues, there's going to be a Star Wars Young Jedi Adventures, which is based on the kid-friendly animated series that's on Disney+. So that's from Dark Horse. I am interested in that because it's just because it's Star Wars. I know it'll be very kiddie, but that's okay. Then they're going to have Maleficent from Dynamite, which is, I believe this one is reprinted material. So if you did not check out Maleficent before from Dynamite, which I did, it's fantastic. It's an excellent read. I highly recommend it. So I would recommend getting this reprinted material if you've not checked it out. If nothing else, for the artwork alone, the artwork's beautiful. So, and there's going to be a new Flash Gordon comic that's coming out. Very excited for that. And there's going to be a free comic book day issue for that. So very interested to see what they do. There's also a Dick Tracy comic that's coming out. I do have the Ashcan edition of that. And it is pretty brutal. Like, for, you know, Dick Tracy, I always pictured as being, like, all ages friendly. This was not. This was, like, gritty and violent. But still, like, you have your Dick Tracy character. He is that detective that comes in to take care of business and everything else. But, like, it was good. It was just very surprising. So, and then one that I'm super excited about, which is Gatchaman. They are bringing Gatchaman back. It's from Mad Cave Studios. And it's going to be a free comic book day issue. Very excited for that. And hope that does well. That, you know, hope it's good. And then if it's good, it'll do well. And then we can get a whole bunch of series. I know that they're actually planning on doing, like, an ongoing series. And I think, like, a couple one shots and a mini series. Like, there's going to be a lot of things involved. So I think one of the mini series has Steve Orlando writing it, which that made me not so excited because I've yet to find anything of Steve Orlando's that I really like when it comes to his writing. There's been stuff that's been okay, but there's been a lot of stuff I have not liked. And again, it's just a preference. I know people that love Steve Orlando's writing. I just have not run into a situation where I was like, oh man, this is awesome. Like, I've heard the Scarlet Witch miniseries that he's been doing have been excellent, but I heard that from people who liked Steve Orlando's writing already. So I'm willing to give it a try. I mean, it's on Marvel Unlimited, so, you know, it's free for me to check out, or, you know, part of the subscription and everything. Yeah, so why not check it out at some point, but I don't hold out high hopes for it. Then there's going to be a Star Wars issue coming out, free comic book day for Marvel Comics, that has there's a lightsaber in the middle, and there's, like, Luke on one side of it and Vader on the other side. So that's interesting. There's going to be a Marvel's Voices number one, which I believe I remember saying that's got, seeing that it has, like, original material in that one as well. There's going to be a Popeye comic coming out. Popeye, I Lie Popeye. So I found that interesting as well. They're bringing Popeye back. Then there's going to be a Conan one. Conan, I've heard, is fantastic. The new series and everything else. I have not checked it out, but I've heard nothing but great things about that. There's going to be a new Doctor Who, which I typically always pick up. And it has the newest Doctor. Then there's Far Cry Call of the Hero, or Call of the Herd, or Call the Herd. Man, I can't read. So it's Far Cry Call of the Herd. So Far Cry is a video game series, so I was a bit interested in that. Just because, like, even though video games typically don't do well in, like, movies and everything else, although some of that's changing, in comics they typically do pretty well. They do some pretty good stories. There's also going to be another Street Fighter. There's almost always a Street Fighter issue. So that's interesting also. And jumping ahead, in Boom Studios, we have, written by Greg Pak, it's a comic called Lawful. And it's the magical meets modern in a walled city with surreally familiar architecture, where two small children with a sense of adventure get a grim reminder of reality, because every mistake one makes in this world will cause them to transform into a monster bit by bit. And in the eyes of society, there's a no distinction between the rules and what's right. Imperfection breeds monstrous consequences in this urban fantasy adventure with deep social commentary from renowned and award-winning writer Greg Pak. So I found it interesting because you have these, they show on the cover these two characters, and one of them has like a tiger's tail and some like antlers on her head. So like it kind of suggests this there is like, start changing as you don't follow the rules and things like that. So, and Greg Pak's an excellent writer, so it has me very interested. Then we have Berserker, A Face Full of Bullets. I have been reading Berserker. It's the one that's written by Keanu Reeves. This one is Keanu Reeves and Jason Aaron. I don't know if it's always Jason Aaron. I don't think it's always been Jason Aaron working with him on it, but, I have enjoyed this, the stories as far as much as I've read. I have all the issues to read, but have not read all of them just yet. But the ones I've read, I really enjoyed. One that I absolutely love from Boom is called, Once in Future, and they're finally having book 2 deluxe edition. So this series has already ended. It ended a little while ago. They had Volume 1 come out in hardcover, and I have it. It's beautiful. I loved reading the issues as they came out. If you like Arthurian legends, in with like a modern take on stuff, I would highly recommend it. It's basically like, almost think of Grimm, the show Grimm, because like there's this guy and he ends up getting caught up in this whole family thing because of his grandmother, who is a total pistol. I mean, she's just like, she is hilarious and awesome at the same time, but it ties into like Arthurian legend characters and Beowulf and all that type of stuff. It's really, really cool. And it's got, it's written by Kieran Gillen and it's got art by Dan Mora, which that sells me enough right there. But they have two different versions. So there's the deluxe edition, and then there's a slipcase edition. I've gotten the deluxe edition for volume 1. I did see after I had gotten that, that there was a slipcase edition. I would have loved the slipcase edition. But I think literally there's no difference other than you get a slipcase for one of them. And it's like significantly more to get that one. So, I don't think that there's any other differences, but fine with the deluxe edition. It's beautiful. It's awesome. It's a great, great story. Then we have Once Upon a Time at the End of the World, Volume 3. I've only read the first like 4 issues of this. It is excellent. It's basically a love story in a post-apocalyptic world that's got a lot of weird, crazy stuff going on. And I heard like each 4 or 5 issues is, they'll be, it's them as these two people as kids, the two of them as like adults. And then there's like the 3rd chapter where they're both older. So I do want to get caught up on that. I just have to find a couple of the issues still because I know I read up to a certain point and then I have a bunch of the issues from the later wave, but I know I have the other issues, so I'm going to find them. But I would highly recommend it. I'm hoping, and this was written by Jason Aaron, I'm hoping that with this being done, because I believe it's done with issue 15, and this is the solicitation for the trade, for volume 3 that takes you from issues 11 through 15. I'm hoping that there'll be like a deluxe hardcover of all of it. So issues 1 through 15 seems perfect for a hardcover edition. So we'll see. Then Rare Flavors, issue 6 is here. I have not read any of this, but I heard it's by the same people that did The Many Deaths of Layla Starr, which is very, very good. And I've heard some things about what Rare Flavors is about, and that has me very interested. So when this comes out in like a trade or hardcover, it's definitely something that would be on my radar. Uncanny Valley, I read the first issue of this. It is written by Tony Fleeks and art is by Dave Wachter. I like Tony Fleeks' writing. I love Dave Wachter's art. This was a no-brainer. I read the first issue. It's phenomenal. Sad to see that it's only 6 issues, although I think I heard in an interview that if it does well, they have more stories to tell. So I think the first issue was fantastic. It was a great setup. And just from like covers and everything else I've seen, there is so many more characters and so much more to come. But the first issue was excellent, fantastic artwork, fantastic story. Then there's also Labyrinth Archive Edition. This is Boom's version of a facsimile edition, as they do these archive editions. And so they did the 3 issues of Labyrinth as they were originally produced back in the 80s. So, love the fact that they were reprinting these. Then, jumping ahead to Dynamite. Dynamite has Space Ghost coming out. Now, this is soliciting Space Ghost number 2. But, super excited that Space Ghost is coming out. It's being written by David Popose, who has been a very great up-and-coming writer. I'm connected with him on Facebook, and he's posted different things of projects he's worked on. He worked on Savage Avengers. He worked on, he did some stories for the Moon Knight anthology where it was black, white, and red for Moon Knight. Or black, white, I think it was black, white, and blood for him or something like that. But anyways, it was for Moon Knight, one of those types of series. And, he's done a few other mini series and everything else that have been very, very good in my opinion. So I'm very excited to see Space Ghost returning. There is a cover that looks like Alex Ross type artwork. But it looks like it's not. It's, cause I don't see his name here, but there's one that's by Francesco Mattina. So it might be him. I'm very excited to see Space Ghost return. The last time I saw Space Ghost, he was in the Future Quest series, which you've heard me mention that before. It's one of my favorite series of all time, and it was sadly very short-lived, but I thought it was fantastic. So seeing Space Ghost come back, awesome. Then we have Thundercats issue 5. I am going to review probably the next episode that I do. I'm going to review Thundercats number 1 and that Nasal Universe or Nasalverse issue. I read both of those. And the Nasalverse, if you remember from last episode, I mentioned it had like Sektars in it and like Power Lords and Roboforce and stuff like that. So, I'll review both of those issues. Thundercats, it started off a bit weak in my opinion. I'll talk about that when I cover the issue, but it has gotten better each issue. So, issue 2 was a lot better. Issue 3, I just read not that long ago, and it was fantastic. So, I really like the direction it's going in now. Then we have Doctor Who, the 15th Doctor, miniseries number 1 of 4. I really gotta get caught up on Doctor Who, my Doctor Who watching. I started doing a rewatch and got through all of, Eccleston and David Tennant. David Tennant's my favorite Doctor of all time. I'm in the middle of the Matt Smith one. And then I never, like, even though I had watched all those already, in the past, I only got through partway through, I'm so blanking on the name of the actor, but basically the next Doctor. I didn't get through all of his. So I need to get through all of his. Then there was the female Doctor, which I heard mixed things on. So, but I want to watch her, run on the character, and then I'm interested in this new Doctor. So, we shall see. Then let's see. Jump ahead a little bit here. There's also, from Titan Comics, there's Kamen Rider Volume 6 being solicited here. I only know the name of Kamen Rider. I have never read any of it, but I have some friends that are really into Kamen Rider a lot. And looks like this is, they have volumes 1 through 4 also still available for order. And then, there's this volume 6. I hope that there's going to be volume 5 somewhere to be reordered to if you wanted it. but it does say it's an original story, so that is interesting. If you're into that type of stuff with the Kamen Rider and everything else, like, it looks really cool. I just don't know a lot about it, so I wanted to mention it, because like I said, I know I have friends that are interested in that stuff. Then from Image Comics, we have the solicitation for Destro number 1 and Scarlet number 1. Not as many covers this time as there were for Duke and Cobra Commander, but that may change as we get closer to them coming out, because you'll have store exclusives and stuff like that. But really excited about both of these titles. I talked about them in the Energon Universe stuff. Then we also have the trades for Cobra Commander and for Duke, and there's two different covers for each one, which I found interesting that they were doing multiple covers for a trade. I would say for me, the cover for Cobra Commander Volume 1 there's one cover that is from issue number 1, and I like that cover the best. The other one just has Cobra Commander kind of standing at the end of like a red carpet with a bunch of troops in front of him. You can't barely see the troops. You just see the back of Cobra Commander. It's not all that exciting to me. But then with Duke, there's the cover for the trade that is the regular edition, which is just the cover from issue number 1. And then there's the direct market edition, which I actually like this one a lot because it has Duke with the explosion behind him, and you have Rock and Roll and Stalker in front of him. You have the Baroness riding a motorcycle behind him. It's just a really cool action scene, so I really like that one. Then we have Geiger from Image in a hardcover deluxe edition. So I mentioned in the past, like Ghost Machine and stuff like that. Jeff Johns has done three titles. He has Geiger, he has Rook Exodus, and he has Redcoat. And they're all excellent. Geiger had been around as a series before, or a mini-series before, and then there was like a Giant, which introduced a character like Redcoat and stuff. And then he did Junkyard Joe, which Junkyard Joe was fantastic. Geiger was fantastic. So this collects all of the Geiger story in a nice deluxe hardcover. So that's really cool. Then there's I Hate Fairyland Compendium Volume 1 trade paperback, and that's collecting I Hate Fairyland issues 1 through 20 and the I Hate Fairyland Free Comic Book Day from 2017 special. So if you want like a paperback version of that, I definitely would recommend that story. Then I saw that they are having Spawn Origins Volume 2 hardcover, and it's the new printing. Last month they had Volume 1. This month they have Volume 2. I had pre-ordered well over a year ago, if not 2 years ago. They were soliciting reprinted hardcovers of a bunch of the volumes of Spawn Origins, and I was missing issues or volumes 7 and 8. I had 1 through 6, and I had 9 and 10, and then they came out with like 11 and 12 as brand new ones, but they resolicited all of them, and then nothing ever happened. And I saw like on some message boards that there were some people that had some connections to it, said there were some delays because they really wanted to get the big library edition ones that had like a slipcase and everything else. They wanted to get those reprinted first. Then they were trying to get some of the trades reprinted because those are bigger sellers, and that they were planning to still do these hardcover editions, but it was going to take a little bit more time. Well, it seems like now those printings are finally, hopefully, knock on wood, are finally going to start coming out because they're soliciting them again. But now they're doing it like one at a time. I still have my pre-order in there for those two volumes I need. I do not want to have to pay secondary market for those because with this, they sell them for like $30. It's a nice hardcover edition with a bunch of issues in it at a really good price. But secondary market for volumes 7 and 8 are like $200 to $300 a piece. there's no way I'm ever paying that type of money for a hardcover edition. But it's the only two I'm missing. So I'm really hoping that my pre-orders come through and that I'll be able to complete that, and that they will then hopefully continue it. Like I said, I think they've done up to volume 11 or 12. I think it's 12 so far. And I just want them to continue the series of Spawn through these hardcover editions, because they're really nice and it's a great way to read the story. Jumping ahead here, I mentioned the Ghost Machine stuff. There's also, so they're showing like Geiger here. Issue 3 is being solicited. Then there's Feral, which if you liked Stray Dogs in the past from Tony Fleeks, Stray Dogs was kind of like, kind of like 101 Dalmatians or something along those lines meets like Silence of the Lambs, as far as like animation style, but kind of dark. Feral is kind of like a Don Bluth movie, or like Aristocats meets The Walking Dead. Basically, I've read the first issue, and it's like there's these cats. They're in a transport vehicle, being taken somewhere. I assume like a shelter or something like that. And it crashes, and you hear about all along some reports of like rabies, like this highly contagious strand of rabies. And so that's their version of like zombies for the cats. It's interesting. I didn't like the first issue of Feral as much as I liked Stray Dogs, but again, it's one of those things like, okay, I know I liked this creative team. I like what they did before. I did like the first issue. It just seems like I'm just ready for more, and I've heard from people that have had a chance to review future issues, like this was just a good setup issue, and that they are going to be like, it's going to get intense after that. So, then we have G.I. Joe Real American Hero number 307. All right. So I think I mentioned last episode, I had not read anything after 300 because I was kind of disappointed that 300 ended with like a kind of to be continued situation. So I did sit down and read issue 301. I like the artwork on it. It's a bit grittier and everything else. I love Shannon's artwork, but this does have like kind of like a grittier look to it. Like I don't want to say I like it better. It's not that at all. It's different, and I don't know how to describe it, but it just has this grittier type look to it. I think it's good. I liked Shannon's cleaner look to everything, but that's just personal preference. Again, it's not that I don't like the artwork on this. Now, the thing that I'm not a huge fan of is, and this is spoiler territory for Real American Hero, is that the Serpentor, Genghis Khan reincarnation, who becomes Serpentor, he decides to ignite this bomb that has this virus in it that Dr. Mindbender created, and he forces Dr. Mindbender and himself and a bunch of the troops to stay on the island when this explosion goes off. And when it does, it's supposed to make people like mindless, controllable mutation type things. And so why he would want to stay there, I don't know. It's just basically he wanted to take out his enemies, even though they got away. It was kind of ridiculous there. But the other thing is too, it made them, they didn't become mindless, but they did become like these, basically became like intelligent zombies. And I was just like, wow, like and I don't mean wow in a good way. It just turned into like, okay, we're going from blue ninjas to now zombies. Like, and zombies have just been so played out already, but I get it. Like, we want to try something new. I am interested to see where the story goes and see if it can like gain my interest and everything else, but it didn't wow me like I was hoping to. And I've heard from a lot of people, they're like, oh man, he, you know, Larry's taking this in a whole new direction. I'm like, it's a new direction, but it's not a new direction. It's at least not Blue Ninja anymore, which just kind of kept getting played to death. Those robot Blue Ninja things are still around. But they're kind of taking a back seat to a lot of the other stuff. And they play a little bit more into like the story and just being an opponent, and like, it's at least a little bit more interesting. But once I saw it, I was like, really, we're going to do like intelligent zombies? Like, just the zombie thing just seems like, I don't know. It's been done to death. I've read way better zombie stuff. Like obviously The Walking Dead, but even like stuff that's, military based, I've read better things. So like, there was a book called, Day Zero, I believe is the name of it. And it has all these little zombie snippet type things when an outbreak happens, and it's all over the world. And there, one of them was a military type story. That was fantastic. I'm trying to remember I think there was another one called like Zero Dawn or something like that, that had like a military unit that went in to go rescue somebody. That was fantastic. So I'm just like, I'm like, this stuff's been done before, and it's been done better in my opinion. And if you're enjoying A Real American Hero, more power to you. I want to enjoy it. I want to like it. Again, maybe 301 was just kind of a setup, and it gets way more interesting after that. I did like the fact that there was like some real consequences in that issue that are reverberated into the next issue, I know. So I'm interested to read it and see, and get caught up and kind of see where things go. But I wasn't as impressed with issue 301 like some people were. Then let's see, what did I mark in here? So there's The One Hand and The Six Fingers. So this is a really interesting comic series. It's a two mini series that are out there. And The One Hand, both of them take place in the future. They're happening simultaneously. And with The One Hand, it is a detective that he is getting close to retiring. He had this case many years ago where it was like a serial killer situation. He thought he caught the person. Then many years later, there was another incident, and he then thought he caught the person again. And now, just before he's retiring, the same MO is happening. He's like, I need to solve this before I retire. And then you have The Six Fingers, which is from the viewpoint of the serial killer and like how he gets mentally caught up in like the stuff. And some of the story you can see like in the background, like you don't need to get both of them, but it's so much better if you do. But like you can see some, you know, each other's characters appearing in the background, each other's stories and stuff like that. It's really, really well done. Then there's also Rat City number 3. This is a Spawn title. I did read the first issue, and when it started off, it was like this military group that takes place in the future. It's like, they refer to this as almost like Spawn 2099. It's a little bit further past 2099. It's like, I can't remember. It's like 2132 or something like that. But, it's a military unit that has to go and get this one person extracted. One guy is kind of a hothead in the group, which like kind of cliched there. Doesn't follow orders and everything else, gets them into a bind, causes some problems. They all get hit in an explosion. The one character, signs up to be part of a program to get his like limbs back, and they're trying to build him bigger, stronger, faster type of thing. It doesn't totally give the results that they were hoping, so they kind of kick him to the curb with his new prosthetics and everything. And that's when the story gets interesting, because it's like you start feeling for this character and what he's going through and the struggles he's dealing with, and that's when you like kind of connect with him finally. And my guess is that the person that was the hothead that got them into the predicament, that he became part of the program too, and he's going to probably be an enemy for him to deal with later. But this guy gets like, evidently, I haven't been keeping up with my Spawn reading, but evidently Al Simmons like ignited this dimensional type thing with his powers, and this is like a reverberation hits this guy, and he gets some spawn powers. You see his eyes light up green, his hands are all like lighting up green and everything else, and he's like holding on to his prosthetic legs and just, and we don't know what happens after that. So like you feel for this character, you get to really connect with him finally, and so all of that made me really like get invested in this character and want to know what happens next. The military stuff didn't really do anything because a lot of it felt very cliched, but then what happened afterwards is what really brings you in as a reader. So then let's see here. Something Epic, issue 11. I will tell you, I've been really, really enjoying Something Epic. I do need to get caught up on it, but if you're someone that has like a big imagination and you love beautiful artwork, I would highly recommend it. It is very wordy, not in a bad way, but you're not going to sit down and read an issue of Something Epic for in like 10, 15 minutes. You're going to be sitting there for a good half hour or so reading an issue. So, but I really connect with the story that he's telling, and the artwork is amazing. So, highly recommend that. Jumping ahead. Oh, they're going to have Universal Monsters Creature from the Black Lagoon Lives. This issue 3 being solicited, but, I thought they did an amazing job with Dracula based on the Universal movie monster story. That was like dark and creepy and really well done. So I'm very interested in this, Universal Monsters Creature from Black Lagoon. Then we also have Transformers number 9, Void Rivals number 10. I will tell you, I read Transformers number 7, which was the new artist coming on. Daniel Warren Johnson is still writing it, and the new artist is on it, and the new artist, his style looks very similar to Daniel Warren Johnson's. The story was phenomenal. You had Soundwave fighting Starscream. It was, there's some things going on with Carly mentally. It was just extremely well done. Great storytelling. Then there's this, from Ablaze, there's this demented looking, it looks like it's a manga type thing. It's called Happy Land Volume 1. It looks like it's an amusement park where people get killed. And there's like this rabbit character. It looked dark and creepy. So it kind of caught my eye because of that. Then from Zenoscope, they have Pooh versus Bambi. So if you don't know that Winnie the Pooh became public domain, and I believe Bambi did as well. And what this means is you can write stories with Winnie the Pooh or Bambi. It just can't look like the Disney version. So you can't have Winnie the Pooh with a red shirt on him and have him look like the Disney version. But you can do a lot of other things with them. They've done a horror movie with them, which I heard was terrible. I think Mickey Mouse is in the public domain now, and Eric Larson has put Mickey Mouse in his Savage Dragon comic. But again, it just can't look like the Disney version. It has to look like the original Mickey Mouse, from like, I think Steamboat Willie time or even before that. So, yeah, people are just getting crazy with stuff that's public domain now. And I always felt like things like that shouldn't be public domain. Like, I feel like that's a property that's owned by a company and rights can move around and everything else. But like, I don't know. There's a case to be made for public domain that like lets other people tell their own stories of these characters and everything else. But it just seems like, okay, somebody created it. Somebody owns the character. Like, let those people tell that story. And if they want someone else to tell the story, like, there's channels for trying to do stuff like that. I don't know. That's just my thought. It just seems weird to have things like Winnie the Pooh being and Mickey Mouse being public domain. Then we have Dawn Runner number 5. I read Dawn Runner number 1. It was very interesting. It took an interesting turn at the end of the first issue. It is basically kaiju. Think of like Pacific Rim. it's very similar to that. And then there's a little bit of a twist at the end. So, Helen of Windhorn, number 5. I got halfway through the first issue and I didn't stop because it was bad. I got tired and I never went back to it. That happens a lot of times for me with comics. If it's late at night and I'm reading them, I'll get through a few pages or half the issue. And then I'm like, I don't have it in me to keep reading. Like, I'll look ahead to see how much more words are in it. And with Helen of Windhorn, there's a lot of words going on, not in a bad way again. But there's a lot of dialogue. So I don't know all of the magic and twists and everything else that I heard really good things about when it comes to it. So, I am looking forward to finishing it off. Probably finish reading that this weekend. So, and we also have from Antarctic Press. I talked about how stuff's becoming public domain, and we have Winnie the Pooh Demon Hunter, which, okay, I'm interested in that just for the ridiculousness of it. So that might be one worth checking out. But, yeah, there was also like a Harriet Tubman, Demon Slayer. I read that. It's actually pretty good. It's a pretty good read. As long as you know what you're getting into. I mean, the ridiculousness of the title and everything else, but it is a fun action, comic. Winnie the Pooh Demon Hunter, it's just the cover and everything else. It just seems, it's a 4-issue miniseries. I don't know. It sounds entertaining. So, and then, from, let's see, who is this from? Dren Productions. There's a comic called Dungeons and Dimwits. Just seemed kind of funny. It looks like it's a humorous take on Dungeons and Dragons. So there's certain times when it's like, you just see a title and you're like, okay, that's funny. Like, or that's interesting enough of a title that it makes me want to read it. Like, that's how I was with Southern Bastards by Jason Aaron. I saw the title Southern Bastards and I'm like, okay, I kind of have to read this to see what the heck this is about. And it was an amazing story. I did the same thing with Bitch Planet. Not so amazing of a story. So, then we have from Mad Cave. I mentioned like them having, Flash Gordon and stuff like that. Well, they also have, they're going to be having Defenders of the Earth coming out, and it's going to be a trade paperback. It's going to collect, a miniseries that was done in the past. It was originally from 1987, and it was a run from Star Comics. So remember, Marvel had the Star Comics. So they must have got the rights to be able to go ahead and reprint that. So I'm actually very interested in that, and I hope that turns into then a Defenders of the Earth new series. I mentioned Gatchaman earlier for Free Comic Book Day. Issue number 1 is solicited here. There's a whole bunch of different covers. They all look really cool. I'm very excited for this. And I'm trying to remember or see. Oh, Cullen Bunn is going to be the writer of it. I was like, there was somebody on it who's writing it that made me very interested. So, then we have, I mentioned earlier that there was going to be like one shots and stuff like that. So there's already going to be Gatchaman Ken Deathmatch. That's going to be a one shot. So, and that's going to be written by Tommy Lee Edwards, who I'm familiar with the name, but don't really know, can't think of any works done by him. But again, interested in that. Then I mentioned earlier also Dick Tracy. Dick Tracy number 2 is solicited here. Yeah, it's brutal, but it's interesting brutal. So, then we have from Oni Press, RoboForce number 3. I mentioned I'll be reading, be reviewing, Nasalverse, which had RoboForce in it. The RoboForce part of the story was interesting. I liked it. I was also interested in because it had like Biker Mice from Mars and had Sectars in it. They do show Biker Mice from Mars talking about how that's going to be the next phase. So they are starting with RoboForce. They're going to go into Biker Mice from Mars. In that Nasalverse issue, I'll cover like when everything's coming out because they actually give a map of when these different properties are coming out. So, then we have, a What If from Random House. It's a book. It's What If book. It's Marvel What If Wanda Maximoff and Peter Parker Were Siblings. It's a hardcover book. It's a prose book. It's not a it's a novel. It's not a comic or anything like that. But I was like, well, that's an interesting, weird take. Then we have Star Wars High Republic, Temptation of the Force hardcover. That's, again, a novel. So I wanted to mention that. And then what else? They also have from 2000 AD, they have The Best of 2000 AD, Volumes 1 through 5, trade paperbacks. I had gotten all five of these. And they have Volume 6 being solicited here. If you're interested in 2000 AD comics, and don't know where to start, these volumes are really great because they kind of take you back to the early roots, and it's a lot of different characters. It's not just Judge Dredd. There is Judge Dredd stories, of course, in them, and he's usually on the cover, but there's other characters also from the 2000 AD comics. And so I find that really interesting because then it's like kind of discovering brand new characters, brand new worlds that have been around for a very long time. Then from Vault Comics, there was a Volume 3 trade for Door by Door, Night by Night. This is Volume 3. I really like this series. It's basically a bunch of door-to-door salesmen that go from town to town, and they were literally trying to sell coupons door-to-door, and they start getting wrapped up in, like, ghosts and demons and monsters and all this type of stuff. So I really enjoyed that series. It's a lot of fun. So that's everything from previews going into DC Connect here. One of the things is that they are bringing back Elseworld, the actual label of Elseworlds. They did do like Black Label. I don't know if Black Label is going away, but basically people were just like, you just need to bring back Elseworlds as a title. So it says in here, DC's legendary Elseworlds line is back with all new series starring DC's superheroes in settings far outside the familiar DC Universe continuity. The new Elseworlds line debuts in June with Batman, Gotham by Gaslight, The Kryptonian Age from writer Andy Diggle and artist Leandro Fernandez, the sequel to the classic Batman, Gotham by Gaslight. New Elseworlds series will launch monthly through November, each in the innovative tradition of iconic Elseworlds stories like Batman and Dracula Red Reign, Kingdom Come, and Superman Red Sun. The full schedule follows below. So they are going to have Batman, Gotham by Gaslight, The Kryptonian Age, which I'm kind of iffy about that because it's like, I do love the original Gotham by Gaslight, but it's like, are you just tapping into that again? Like, I always get nervous with stuff like that because it's like, is it a money grab because, you know, it's a recognizable name, or do you actually have a really good story? And sometimes it's one and sometimes it's the other one. So it just does make me nervous. Then we have Dark Knights of Steel, All Winter number one. I loved Dark Knights of Steel. It was essentially an Elseworld story. They just didn't have that label for it. I can't remember if they called it a Black Label or not, but that was phenomenal. It was by Tom Taylor. Now, this one will not be by Tom Taylor, so I don't know if I'm hoping it'll still be really good, but we'll see. Then we have DC versus Vampires World War V. That was also a really nice surprise series. I think it was like 12 issues long. And then there was like a side story called All Out War. Both were really good. I really enjoyed it. All Out War was black, white, and red as far as the colors they used. But it was, both were really well told stories, and the series ended with a huge twist at the end of it. So this is obviously continuing that. Then we have Batman the Barbarian. Have no idea what the hell that's going to be. We have Green Lantern Dark, which I think I remember hearing that this was going to be more of like the Tangent. I could be wrong, but I think I heard it's supposed to be like the Tangent Universe Green Lantern, which I'm all in favor of exploring that character a bit more. And then we have Batman Nightfire, which again, don't know what that is, but I am happy to see the Elseworlds universe coming back, or Elseworlds stories. I just hope they're not, like, tapping into stuff that was done a bunch of times in the past. Like, the whole point of Elseworlds is to tell, like, some new stories and everything. So, we'll see. Probably the most exciting thing, and the reason I kept this catalog for last, is that DC Marvel crossover stuff from the past is getting reprinted finally. So there was a whole bunch of DC versus Marvel character stuff in the past, and then there was the Amalgam Universe that was done. And for the longest time, like, there were trades that came out shortly after the floppies came out that collected some of this stuff, not all of it. And for the longest time, it had been out of print because it requires both companies to work together. Why these are in the DC catalog, I don't know. I don't know if Marvel's going to have their own version of them at some point or what, but I am very excited about this. They have DC versus Marvel Omnibus, which will have a ton of stuff that's never been reprinted. Like, it's got stuff like Punisher Batman. It's got Green Lantern Silver Surfer. Like, there's a few Punisher Batmans. Uncanny X-Men and New Teen Titans. Like, so all of these DC versus Marvel stuff is going to be reprinted. I think even, like, older stuff like Superman and Spider-Man, stuff like that, Hulk and Batman, I think all of that's being reprinted. The only thing that's not reprinted in here is the JLA Avengers crossover that was done in, like, prestige format, and then it was done in a trade, and then they did, like, an Absolute edition, even though it was before they were calling it Absolute. And then just recently, before George Perez passed away, they were able to work out a deal to get, I think it was like 7,000 copies printed, which I do own one of those. And I do have the Absolute edition. So I don't know if there are plans to reprint that again, especially with them doing this, where it's DC versus Marvel, and that's really the only thing I can think of that's not being reprinted in the DC versus Marvel Omnibus. So maybe they're going to reprint the Absolute edition of that, which I think would be very cool if they did that. Even though it was tough for me to get my copy, it's something that I would love to see available for people who missed out back when that came out. So this is really cool. And then there's the Amalgam Age Omnibus, which is when they combined characters like Batman and Wolverine and made a character called Dark Claw, and you had Superman and Captain America blended together, and Doctor Strange Fate, whereas Doctor Strange and Doctor Fate blended together. Storm and Wonder Woman were blended together. So there's all these types of stuff that blended together. For both of these Omnibus editions, there is a Jim Lee variant cover that's being done, which I'm very excited about. And both of them have a standard, like, wraparound cover, but then they both have a Jim Lee variant cover that's a wraparound cover. And I'm super excited about the Jim Lee one. I love the original artwork that's on these, but I'm a huge Jim Lee fan, and to see these characters all drawn in an amazing wraparound cover by Jim Lee, super excited about that. So this is why I saved this for last, because I know there's a lot of people that are excited about these Omnibus editions. I wish they didn't have both of them come out in the same month. But maybe that's what they can negotiate. Maybe it was just like, okay, we'll do this, but they both have to come out at the same time. So again, I don't know why they're solicited just in the DC catalog. I don't know that maybe that was part of the agreement. So, but very excited about that. Jumping ahead here, wanted to mention, they have solicited Penguin number 11. This is by Tom King. The reason I mention this is because I am not a fan of the Penguin character, like, at all. He's not a character that I've ever had any interest in when it comes to a story with him. This series has completely changed my viewpoint on that. I absolutely love the issues I've read so far. I think I've read the first 5 issues of Penguin. I have more waiting for me to read in the DC app. I am loving this. He is brutal. He is very intelligent, strategic and everything else in the things he does. He is a true threat. And I love that. I love that they've done with what Tom King's done with him. So I'm looking forward to reading more. It's definitely a huge surprise for me because this is like Penguin's not even a Batman character. It's probably my top 10 or top 20 villains of Batman. I mean, Batman's got a lot of villains. I'm sure he would appear on some people's top 10 or top 20. He doesn't even appear on probably my top 20. Like there's so many characters I like before him, but man, it's just proof that if you have a good story, you can take any character and make them and tell an amazing story with them. And again, that it's just personal preference. Some of you are like, there's been amazing Penguin stories in the past. I've read good Penguin stories in the past. It's not that I haven't, but it's just never been a character that has like, where I'm like, ooh, I can't wait to read the next issue because Penguin's in it. Like that's never happened for me. There has been stuff with like Bane or Riddler or Hush or, Joker and things like that where I'm like, ooh, I really like that character and that, you know, Ra's al Ghul and stuff like that. Never been that way with Penguin. So even a mini series, I was like, when this was coming out, I was like, I don't think I'm going to like this. I'm not even going to bother. And then I started hearing from so many people how good it was and people that are critical of Tom King's work were saying like how great it was. And I was like, all right, Tom King's typically hit or miss for me. But these people that typically are bashing his work are loving it. I need to check this out. And like I said, I've read at least the first 5 issues and it's fantastic. I highly, highly, highly recommend it. Then there's Batman Superman World's Finest. I'm just a couple issues behind on this. You have Mark Waid and Dan Mora on this. I did hear that they're going to be leaving this title soon, which is a shame. So I believe the title is just going to be ending. I don't think it's going to like new people or anything like that, but, it's one of my favorite DC titles that's out there. And there's a really cool variant cover for this issue by, Zerdy. It's got Batgirl and Supergirl from like the animated series. So I thought that was very, very cool. Then we have Wonder Woman issue 10, again with Tom King. He can be hit or miss for me. Wonder Woman, I've read the first 3 issues of Wonder Woman. Absolutely love it. I need to get caught up on the rest of it. But I'm really enjoying it. I know there's some people that have not liked it at all. For whatever reason, they haven't liked it at all, but I have thoroughly enjoyed it. The artwork is beautiful, by Daniel Sampier, and the story is extremely compelling for me. I really, really enjoyed it. So looking forward to getting caught up on that one. And then there's a House of Brainiac going on. It just started in Superman. It's going to have its finale and then it's going to lead into a countdown to Absolute Power, which is DC's big event, coming up, which involves Amanda Waller and everything else. I've heard the first issue of House of Brainiac is really good. It is going to be one of the ones where I am not getting the issues at all, even though there's a couple that are tying into Green Lantern and stuff like that. I've heard it's mostly like the backup stories in Green Lantern that tie into it, which one person read the first issue that had that in it. And he's like, you can read it. You're fine. Even if you're not reading House of Brainiac. So I'm good with that. If House of Brainiac is as good as it seems like it's starting off with, like I said, people are saying like the first issue is really good. The artwork is beautiful. I've seen some pages from the issue. It looks amazing. Then I'm going to hope that there's like a nice hardcover edition and I'll get that at some point and read that. So, going into Green Lantern, I am loving Green Lantern. This is the best Green Lantern in my opinion since Geoff Johns. Like there is stuff that is being done with Green Lantern by Jeremy Adams that is just, he gets the character. Like he's done his homework. He's researched things. And he's telling some amazing stories with the character. One of the things, I'm going to spoil some stuff right now if you haven't been reading it or haven't been keeping up on it. So I just wanted to warn you. One of the things is that Hal just recently discovered that there was a backup Owen power battery, like the large power batteries inside the Earth. He follows some clues and some information and everything else, and then he's led to his friend, who is one of the defenders of the Earth, and not that defenders of the Earth, but DC's version of that. And there's a power battery there, the large power battery, and you find out that this was a backup battery in case the one on Oa ever went down. And this is allowing Hal to create a Green Lantern ring and leave Earth's atmosphere, which he hasn't been able to do. And he wants to explore what is going on right now, because there's a new, like, United Planets that's running things, and it seems really sketchy what they're doing. So it seems like they're wiping out all other power batteries and stuff like that. I believe, if I remember right, like, Saint Walker arrived, and, like, there's some bad stuff going on. Hal wants to explore it and find out what's going on and deal with it. But the thing that was cool about this, the backup power battery, this is what made it so awesome, was not just because, okay, there's a backup power battery on Earth, but that explains why there were so many Earth-based Green Lanterns. Like, for so many years, people were just like, why are there, like, 10 Green Lanterns from Earth? Like, why is there not that many Green Lanterns anyplace else? It was never answered other than, like, hey, it's, well, we're the comic raiders and we're on Earth, so we want more Green Lanterns from Earth. But it was nothing more than that for the most part. This explains it. Well, there was a second backup power battery on Earth, so in order to protect it, there was more Green Lanterns from Earth that were created. So I thought that was very, very cool, and I was very excited about that. Going into facsimile editions, they are, I think it's starting this coming week. They're going to be doing Crisis on Infinite Earths every issue. Once a month, they'll be having an issue come out. And again, like I was mentioning with Secret Wars, there's going to be a foil version of each one. So I'm very excited about that. Not only are they doing a foil version for each one, they're doing a blank cover for each one. I saw that they were doing a blank cover for the first issue. I didn't realize they were going to be continuing that. So very, very interested in that. I think it's cool that they're doing a blank cover for each one. So, like, you could have an artist, like, draw something Crisis-related for each issue. Have, like, a different artist do different covers. Like, that's something that I would probably have done. So I just think that's very cool. Then we have, last thing I wanted to mention here, is we have Nightwing Year 1 20th Anniversary Deluxe Edition. This is a story that I never thought that they would reprint. It's written by Scott Beatty and Chuck Dixon. It's got art by Scott McDaniel. The main cover is very cool, but the variant cover I like even more. It's done by Dan Mora. It's the direct market version, and it has Nightwing in, like, leaping and everything else, and he's in all, in each leap and everything is him in a different one of his costumes from the time he was Robin all the way up to modern day Nightwing. So I really like that cover. I like the cover, the main cover as well, though, because you have Nightwing kind of split in the middle, or Dick Grayson split in the middle, where on his left side he looks like Robin, and he's like in the Batcave, and he's got, you know, Barbara Gordon's as Batgirl's behind him, and Alfred's behind him, and the Big Penny, and the Tyrannosaurus Rex statue, and then Batman's like in the distance, and then on the right side of him he is Nightwing, and you have the Haley Circus behind him. So very cool cover. I do like the variant cover by Dan Mora a bit more, just because I like being able to see him in all his different iterations of his costume. But this is a fantastic story. Like, if you've never read Robin Year One, or Batgirl Year One, or Nightwing Year One, you owe it to yourself to read them. They're all excellent stories. I can't recommend them enough. They've been doing, I think I remember right, because I think I have them, that they've done deluxe editions of Batgirl Year One, and I think they did a deluxe edition of Robin Year One, but I'm not 100% sure. But very excited that they're doing this 20th anniversary deluxe edition of Nightwing Year One. So, and that is everything I wanted to talk about. So if you know things that are coming out in the future, put it in the comments of this episode. If there's something I mentioned in this episode that you're excited about, I'd love to hear that as well. Again, I will stress that I really appreciate all the support that the Stealth Hammer Kickstarter is getting, and I really encourage you to check it out if you haven't supported it already. It means a lot to me to be able to continue telling this story. So, and one thing I want to mention also is that a lot of times people forget is that you are not charged until the end of the campaign, and that's only if we reach our goal. So May 7th is when it's ending. So I have had a lot of people go like, well, I want to back it, but I don't have the money right now. I'll have the money in 2 weeks or whatever. I'm like, that's fine. You can back it now. So that we know that, so we're not stressing out and we know that it's going to reach its goal. And then you're not charged until May 7th. And that again is only if we reach our goal. So if for some reason we don't reach our goal, you're not going to get charged on May 7th. I mean, that's not a reason to back it in the hopes of that we're not going to reach it, but it is a reason to back it in the sense of you don't have to worry about being charged now for it. So, there's all different levels. There's just, you know, just the issue. There's nice low cost stuff where you can get it just digitally. You can get it a physical copy, at a reasonable price. And then there's stuff all the way up to original artwork and things like that. So, find something that works for you. And I hope you enjoy it. I hope you enjoy what we created here. And, just encouraging you to do that because again, Kickstarters are extremely stressful. There's a lot of work that goes into it. More work than you can imagine. Like everything you see on the Kickstarter, it's created by me with my wife helping out with like, images and stuff like that. And obviously Joel and, our colorist Heather Breckel and stuff like that doing the artwork that we showcase and everything else. So there's just a lot of work. There's a lot of, reaching out to places constantly to see if I can get on to their shows to promote it, reaching out to like local newspapers and things like there's just a lot of work that goes into it to try to get this story that I'm very proud of and very happy to be telling, and hopefully people enjoy it. Like I said, please, if you're able to support it, I thank you very much. If you're not able to, just share it with other people that, like, tell them about it. That if you have other comic fans and stuff like that, or if you just know, like, some kids in your family that are just, like, you know, tell their parents about it. Like, it's an all-ages comic. It's a lot of fun. I've had a lot of kids that really enjoyed it. I've had a lot of adults that have really enjoyed it. So, it really is, I am really trying to tell a story that's good for all ages. I appreciate all the support. If you want to email us, it's starjoespodcast@gmail.com. And, other than that, I appreciate you guys listening and sticking around. Hopefully I'll get another episode very soon out to you guys. But with that, we'll go ahead and close the episode by saying the Force will be with you, because knowing us is half the battle. Take care, everyone.